20! Blue 20!
It's intentional grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times Adam Johns.
Welcome into Intentional Grounding, episode 42. Our Sid Luckman episode, of course.
Easy choice.
Yes, very easy. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here with you. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. And if you don't already listen to the podcast through iTunes, you can subscribe there by searching Intentional Grounding and hitting subscribe. It'll show up on your phone, your iPad, laptop, whatever you use automatically then. Appreciate you doing that, and please rate it and review it. All right, so I don't know what the heck that was Thursday night, but it wasn't good.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Yuck. I know some fans will probably use a word that rhymes with that word, but it's the preseason. You don't want to make too much of whatever that was, but it wasn't good at any level. I can't name one good thing out of that night.
When I went back and watched, the only thing... Oh. Yeah, unfortunately.
Nothing better to do?
Yeah. I got plenty of better things to do. But...
You wanted to torture yourself. But go ahead. What did you find? What did you learn that was good?
Well, the defense didn't allow a point in the second half.
It's fine.
Most of those guys are not players that are going to be on the team.
Either on the other team.
Yeah. Look... You always have to narrow it down to an individual level. That's mm-hmm. what the coaches do. But, you know, it still matters. It's to just make a blanket statement that it doesn't matter. The score doesn't really matter.
No.
I think it matters that the Bears had a zero on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
You want to at least see some points. But, you know, the fact they lost 22-0, not a big deal. What matters, though, is that there were just so many individual breakdowns, I thought. There were mm-hmm. just so many individuals that didn't play all that well. And that had to be depressing when they went back and watched the tape.
I think you wanted to see some success to some degree. I mean, Mark Sanchez is out there whipping the ball around yeah. like he's back at USC. It shouldn't happen that way. Jay Cutler with Dow Loggins as a signal caller. Now, the first offense just didn't look in flow. They had one good play to Alshon Jeffrey for 12 yards, finished with 13 yards as a unit for the night. Not very good protection issues. We knew those were going to show up because of the youth, some of the recent movement up there with Rodas Grisou. But I think you wanted to see some success, just like the Broncos had some success. You wanted some good vibes. And look, I know it's just the preseason, but it was ugly, especially for the first team.
Let me give you one more positive. Yes, that first drive ended with Bryce Callahan doing whatever he did.
Yes.
To let Demaryius Thomas go right by. I don't know if that was in... Did you talk to him after the game? I didn't get a chance to talk to him.
Bryce Callahan?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there with him. Maybe we can catch up with him this weekend or in New England, but... Okay, if he thought they were in a different defense, they were clearly... They blitzed both inside linebackers and a safety.
Yep.
So you know you're in zero man there and one-on-one coverage. So I don't know how he could have thought he had help over the top. But maybe that was the case. Otherwise, if he was peeking in the backfield and thought that the play was going to be over because
it was almost
Danny Trevathan almost sacked Sanchez.
Yeah.
Still, that's not how you play football. I mean, you can't just stop.
Right.
So either way, it wasn't a good play for him. All right. So that play resulted in a touchdown, and it was bad, no question. A couple snaps before that, though, it may have even been the snap right before. Willie Young, who I thought played really well in that game, even
yep.
in limited playing time, nearly forced a turnover. He actually hit Sanchez from behind enough to force a really bad incompletion. A split second, if he gets there a split second earlier, that's a fumble, and the Bears might have the ball. On the second defensive possession that the Ones had, they did force a turnover as Bryce Callahan got his hand on Sanchez's pass. Mm-hmm. Jarrell Freeman picked it off. So the point I'm making is they were very, 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 very close to having two takeaways in two defensive possessions. The Bears' number one defense.
Yeah.
Now, almost doesn't count. You still ended up giving a touchdown. But if there's one positive, significant positive, I thought, that looked like a defense that can force more takeaways, which has been a problem now since Lovie Smith left Chicago.
Here's the thing. Let me play devil's advocate for a little bit. They can't just be very, very close. Because they're already talking about being very, very close in games last year. But you need to be close. You need to close on the play.
And they still gave up three third and longs on that first drive. So it wasn't great. Yes. There were some signs here that this could be a defense that will force more turnovers.
Yes. Part of me does want to defend Bryce Callahan in that play.
How?
Okay. When he would play with the ones at camp, he was on the other side. He was in place of 23, not 21. He started in place of Tracy Porter, who did not play. Veterans, I think they know what they have. I think there is a competition brewing a cornerback between Kyle Fuller and Bryce Callahan. I think it's a more wide-open race than many want to believe. I think DeAndre Hall could even sneak in there. But he's a guy who played nickelback all of last season. Not the whole season, but part of it, I should say. And then when he was at camp, it was primarily nickelback and then the opposite corner. So I could get where there's some confusion. If you want to have some confusing moments and have a good moment to get scolded in film review, it's the preseason. But you could, just to throw some context in there, he was playing in a spot he never really traditionally practiced in.
Now, my devil's advocate to your devil's advocate would be that's straight one-on-one coverage, and you just guard
right.
just play the man in front of you.
Mm-hmm. That's a mismatch, though. Demaryius Thomas, Bryce Callahan, right?
Yeah. All right, some other observations I have after rewatching. Mitch Unrein's a solid player. He's a nice player. He's better as a backup than he is as a starter. And I thought he got pushed around a little bit on the line of scrimmage. Jonathan Bullard looked good to me.
He did.
And if
that's a positive. His play actually
point I'm making. If a month from now when the season starts, if Bullard can get into that starting lineup because he deserved it, because he outworked Mitch Unrein, I think the depth on that defensive line is, because I don't want to knock Mitch Unrein. He's a solid player. I think John Fox loves having him on this team. I think Vic Fangio.
Oh, he's on the team, yeah.
But to me, that's like, it's kind of like the utility player in baseball that you love to pinch hit and bring off the bench and spot start here and there. And as soon as he has to fill in for 2 weeks because someone's hurt, he doesn't look as good. That's where Mitch Unrein is for me.
I know what you're saying. Did you notice the defensive depth development there? I mean, Cornelius Washington, before he left on the cart, I thought he played well.
He did.
But in terms of,
he's always had potential, and I think there's 3-4
defense. He looks like Jeremiah Ratliff physically now, and he has his Ratliff's old number, but physically he's built like him. Right
well,
now.
I always thought he was better for a 3-4 because he wasn't necessarily a quick twitch pass rusher.
No.
When he was a 4-3,
he's fast. I mean, he's got some athleticism.
To me, he's more of a bulky, can kind of two-gap.
He's definitely bulked up.
I don't know what's wrong with him. Is he healthy?
Well, we'll find out today.
Yeah,
but he played well. I mean, did you notice it was him, Will Sutton, and Jonathan Bullard getting the second team snaps over a former second round pick, Eagle Ferguson, of a couple years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that Ryan Pace kind of praised not too long ago from the owners' meetings because of his work ethic, because of he's coming off, was a torn meniscus? Does that sound right?
You're talking about Washington?
Eagle Ferguson.
Oh, you're talking about Eagle.
Yeah, I mean, Eagle Ferguson, I mean, the door just opened up again for him because of Cornelius Washington's injury, but I thought it was.
But what does it say that Washington was already ahead of him?
Well, I think they like Washington and Eagle Ferguson. Again, this is a guy they praised not too long ago, but now is third team reps. They're not going to keep, seven interior defensive linemen. Interesting development, I thought.
Yeah. Let's see. What else?
What'd you make of Leonard Floyd? I spent the entire game watching him through the binoculars.
Okay. What'd you think then?
He's quick.
Because I didn't watch him closely until I rewatched the game.
Okay. He gets his hands on the guy faster than...
I thought he had more power than I thought.
Yes. But his hands aren't his strong suit, I think he wanted to test his hands out. He felt accomplished or happy with what he did with his hands. So just looking back at it, he got his hands on the right tackle. Was it Darian Weems who he faced a lot? Really fast, but his hands aren't his strong point. His speed, right, is supposed to be. And he got locked up a few times, had a couple good interior moves, tried to spin move with, I thought, little success. He ripped inside with some good moves. But
he got through a double team at one point and forced an incompletion.
Yeah. Well, so. He forced the guy to step up. But at other times, Weems just sort of let him rush outside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Pro Football Focus would call that a pressure, but quarterbacks step up in the pocket for a reason.
Yeah, I didn't hate what I saw from Leonard Floyd. I'm still kind of waiting for him to have a wow play, though, right? One of those.
I want to see the speed just destroy the guy off the line.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think he wanted to test his hands, though, and his might. Maybe that's what he was going for.
Maybe. All right, and then so that's your first round pick. How about your second round pick, Cody Whitehair?
What do you think? The whole offensive line, I mean, when T.J. Ward is running clean shot at Jay Cutler, right. I think there's a...
Well, he was fine when he was at left guard. There was one play where he wasn't able to get out and block on a screen for Jeremy Lankford that had he gotten that first man, Lankford may have had some room to run.
Did he get eaten up on the way out?
He just missed his block. Okay. And that guy ended up tackling Lankford. I think that was on the first series. Now, I think it was pretty obvious to even a casual observer, once he moved inside the center, wasn't very good.
No. Well, what would you expect from a guy who's... I know he can play center, but he didn't play center at Kansas State.
No, he never did. He played four of the five offensive line positions at Kansas State. Center was the one he didn't. He came in with the Bears. He's received some reps at center, but with the pads on and training camp, most of his work has been at left guard.
Yeah.
Because that quickly became apparent that's where he was most likely going to be starting the season. When Hronas Grisu went down a week ago, they said, all right, well, we got to get you a little bit more reps now at center, but that was always with like the third or fourth team after he had already been working with the first team. So he comes into this game the other night with very, very, very minimal experience at a much higher level of football. So
my expectations were like nothing. I mean, I expected him to, What do you think, he was going to light the world on fire?
No, but it was two holds and two high snaps.
Yeah.
Holding penalty, hands to the face penalty. Two high snaps, sack allowed, and he got dinged up on that last play.
I mean, imagine the nerves going through him. I mean, he hasn't practiced it that much.
Yeah.
Right? And here's his first live competition against the Denver Broncos. And, yes, I know it wasn't their ones or really their twos out there, but still, first NFL game, not easy for a rookie, let alone a guy who's not a center.
All right, well, I guess we could continue going through the rookies. Jonathan Bullard, we both said, thought looked okay.
Very good.
Looked pretty good. Who's next? Deion Bush?
Deion Bush. I think he had a pass breakup in the end zone, right? But that was like...
Nothing I thought would really push Adrian Amos or HJQ.
No.
Okay.
Nick Kukowski did not play.
Nick Kukowski, that's why I keep forgetting him, because we haven't seen him in 3 weeks.
Nope.
He's got a hamstring injury still. DeAndre Hall, thought he played great.
Yeah, you know, you want his head to get around.
Yeah, he's got to learn that. I mean, he broke up three passes in the end zone, and all three of them he never turned around and found the football. Right. So,
I like what he said though about those plays. He was reading the receiver's eyes. So, you know, when they get big, he knows it's coming, and he just tries to turn. And at least he's focusing more on his technique, and it's slowing down for him to the point where he could react to the receiver's eyes and actually try to make a play on the ball. Yes, if he keeps doing that and he runs through the receiver, that's going to be pass interference. Right. But he's so long.
Yeah, because if the ball's underthrown, it doesn't matter that the receiver's looking at the ball. You're going to get in the way, and it's going to be PI.
Yes.
Also, some of the top receivers in this league know how to deke a corner with their eyes.
Yeah.
The experienced guys can take a corner who's young and not finding the football and take advantage of that. So, it was a good start. I mean, he showed off his speed, his ability to cover man on man, and his length to break up the football. I mean, those were all the traits that we talked about when he was drafted out of Northern Iowa.
Yeah. Again, I don't know. He's not going to start week one. I mean, let's make that clear. But that competition at cornerback opposite Tracy Porter. Let's call it wide open because it's going to be. Kyle Fuller, they want to see what they have out of this guy. They want some consistent effort, consistent work ethic, consistent everything out of him, performances. And it's just been too erratic for them on the practice field and on game days. I mean, we look at they're going to test him or put him in situations where they want to find out what he is this preseason. Mm-hmm. I think the Bryce Callahan start was a sign that they're trying to push him. They want him to have a competition. I mean, Tracy Porter's the other starter, let's be clear. But it's wide open. It's going to be interesting development because these next two preseason games, this week in New England, I think it's going to be quite telling for number 23.
Well, they want Callahan in the slot.
Yep.
So they can go and look at what he did the other night and say, well, look, he got his hand on the football, forced an incompletion. That's what they want him to do inside in the slot.
Doesn't mean he can't be moved there when they go nickel. Like when they start in base, Callahan could still be the starting cornerback. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think my point is that they're probably going to emphasize they're going to like what he did. All right, let me simplify it. He's not going to be on Demaryius Thomas in the regular season.
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, there's still something else that went on that play that he allowed Thomas to get by him, but that's not the matchup for Bryce Callahan. They're going to look at the interception that he forced and say, oh, that was a nice play. But I think the point you're getting at, and I wrote this the other night, this position is wide open for some young stud to come on and earn a starting job with their play. It's been a long time since someone's done that for the Bears at corner. They need somebody to do that. And
it's been since Charles Tillman.
Yeah. Well, who says that he models his game after Charles Tillman and kind of looks like him out there with his length and his height?
DeAndre Hall.
And
he's got the same little swag edge to him, too.
So
swag edge, we'll call it.
Swag edge.
Swag edge. He used the word swag. You know, a PPU is good for your swag, is what he said after the game.
Yeah. Anyone? Jordan Howard didn't do much.
No. The offense didn't do much,
no.
man.
Jordan Howard was the only running back, though, that I thought had a lane that he missed the entire game. Otherwise, and I made this point yesterday morning, if you're the coaches and you're trying to evaluate these running backs and you need these preseason games, like, you just wasted a game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What tape was there to evaluate these guys from that game? That's got to be...
And Kadeem Carey's out now with the concussion.
Yeah. So, that's another area where that just wasn't good for the running backs. It's not that they didn't play well, but you got one of them hurt, and you don't have anything to evaluate off of. So that wasn't good. Anything else before we... Daniel Braverman didn't do much.
No. I talked
DeAndre
to him.
Houston Carson hurt his neck.
Oh, and he missed a key block, the block, on the Pat O'Donnell punt. So that wasn't good.
Not a good night for him.
I did talk to Daniel Braverman after the game about his punt returning. He had 2 for 0 yards. He's got some edge to him about certain things when things don't go well to him. So it's going to be – I think he's got the work ethic to make things click, but we've talked about it on this podcast.
So he doesn't have swag edge? He just has edge?
He doesn't have – he didn't seem too happy that I brought up his punt returns. It's first preseason game, Daniel. It's going to not always go so well. I mean, he was the number 2 punt returner behind Mark Mariani. So you know they're trying to pencil in him a role. He's got to have some value other than being the number 6 receiver with this team. And that could just be the backup return man. But he needs to show a bit more. And I think he was very unhappy with his performance as a returner against the Broncos.
The Bears did make some roster moves today. By the way, we're recording on a Saturday morning, which is a little bit unusual for us, but... and there are practices today.
Saturday morning, it's 3:00.
Yeah, I don't know why I said morning. It is 3:30 in the afternoon.
The Bears have practice.
The Bears have
four.
Yeah, the Bears have not practiced yet, and they haven't had a practice in the afternoon. So in my head right now, as we're talking, I think it's the morning. but the Bears signed offensive lineman Khalid Holmes and Shelly Smith, 2 veterans that have wandered the league.
Yes.
And they waived Dan Buchholz and Donovan Williams. Donovan Williams did not play well the other night.
No.
So they're
looking for answers on the offensive line. Is this surprising?
It's not surprising.
Not starting answers. I mean, I think they're starting 5
set. They
don't
have much depth.
No, that's what it is. Yep.
I don't want to beat his dead horse, but...
And those offensive linemen are going to be coming and going. I mean, it's the NFL.
But Matt Slauson.
I get it. But
fit or no fit, he'd be a pretty good backup to have right now.
Yep.
If that's how they graded him out.
Yep.
I actually talked to somebody within the Chargers organization the other day, mm-hmm. who said Slauson looks healthy, looks great. We're happy to have him.
Yeah.
I don't blame fans for questioning that at the time.
And, yeah, well, you can't blame them for questioning it now, especially when your Hronas Grisu is out for the
But year. That's why you keep him.
Yeah.
That's why it didn't make sense at the time to just let him go. I don't know. I do need to thank CJ Wilson Mazda. This episode of Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa. Always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Should we get to...
Hold on.
Yeah.
You still got the Miata?
I do. Yes.
How long are you holding on to that bad boy?
I don't know. Whatever they call me and...
You love it. You've fallen in love with it. That two-door coupe.
Of course I love it.
Yeah.
It's fun to drive.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to zoom it up to...
Zoom over to Hallis as soon as we're done with
this. All right.
We got it.
Let's go straight to the players' lot. Yep. Daniel Braverman checking in. Do it. It'll work. They're not going to stop you.
All right. Maybe we should try it. Let's get to our favorite segment. What does the fox say?
Just part of it. Excuse me. Yo, guys. What the fuck,
babe? You're mean.
Let me come clean. That was doctored a little bit. Also, I did not do that.
Okay. We're going to keep the other.
And I'm not going to sell out the person who did it.
Okay. It's mean. We all get phlegm in our throats.
Mm-hmm.
You're just mad that practice is at 4 and the off day was canceled.
I'm not upset that practice is at 4 today. I am upset that our off day in New England got canceled.
They caught wind of our trip, didn't they?
Yeah, because we were going to enjoy an off day in New England by going to Cape Cod.
We were
going to
do a podcast.
We were going to do it
from Cape Cod.
Maybe we could still
It would have been relaxed. We would have been on the beach. We had a couple drinks in us. It would have been fantastic. Entertainment, but
so really the listeners are losing out here.
Yes, so they have 3 practices now
against the
open
Patriots.
To the media. That last one again,
it'll be light.
Yeah,
they won't be wearing pads probably.
The previous off day is now a glorified, can't be a walkthrough like it was meant to be. Now, I mean, they opened it up to the fans in New England, so
yeah.
Maybe they do a little 7-on-7. Not much, but. It's all right. They don't want to hear about our travel woes. Nobody does.
Is there even going to be any media availability?
Yeah.
There is?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Are you looking forward to media availability with Martellus Bennett? Now, this was not a guaranteed thing, I've been told, that they were going to ask him and try to encourage him to talk to the Chicago media in New England.
Why wouldn't he?
Because he's Martellus Bennett.
But that was never really an issue, I never thought.
Oh, yeah, it was. Remember towards the half of last year when he knew Zach Miller was on his rise and he wasn't healthy and he wanted out?
I don't think he ever had an issue with us.
He ducked this all the time. Some of us.
Okay. Like Brandon Marshall had a problem with some of us.
Yeah.
I never got a sense that Marty did. I just thought that...
I still remember Marshall yelling at us, I'm not answering any of your negative questions. Both of us at separate occasions he did that. He called you out by the hallway, didn't he, one time? By the offensive lineman? What do you want?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Because I was requesting him, and he came back in and took a beeline straight for me.
Yeah. That was, what do you want? Well, he's in a great situation, Martellus Bennett. In New England. He doesn't have to be the guy. We know Rob Gronkowski is one of the best tight ends in the business. I think they want to go back to that Aaron Hernandez tight end combo with Gronkowski from a few years ago.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see how long the peace lasts with Bennett in New England. Because Tom Brady's not going to be there for the first 4 games. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be his quarterback. There'll be some losses. Gronk's going to get all the attention as always. He's got a new
contract. That's what I think is going to be the problem.
He's not getting the attention.
That he's not the number one guy.
Well, he's not even close to Gronk's level.
Right.
I know he thinks he could be.
But think about how
I don't think he is even in the same conversation.
He's not shy about not liking Jason Witten.
No.
Which was the last situation he was in where he wasn't the number one guy.
Yeah.
And then you just brought up how at the end of last year when Zach Miller was coming on that he was having issues with that.
Right.
So how does he go into a situation with Gronk?
Well, he's got to get a new contract.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Right, but when the ball's not going his way.
Yeah.
Because you know Brady's going to throw the ball to Gronk before he's throwing it to Bennett. It's going to be a very interesting situation.
Can you see him? Do you think he'll step out of line with Brady at one point?
Wouldn't surprise me.
No, wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. But, again, he needs to get a new contract. Athletes in all sports have amazing seasons, and they're on their best behavior in contract years.
Yeah.
And he's on a team that is not going to take his whatever.
It'll be. I mean, I find it a fascinating situation. Like, are we? I guess we'll talk to him maybe on Monday.
Yeah, that will be interesting.
Hopefully, it's on Monday.
He'll talk to us.
He'll talk.
He'll have fun. I hope he has fun.
I think
with
he's going to talk, especially because you can't do that ESPN story. Call out Jay. And then not talk when the Chicago media comes to town.
Right.
Come on.
No, we don't have our full contingent going.
That's true. But that should make it even easier.
Yeah,
for him.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing my guy Shay.
Yeah, I know. You guys had dinner plans. What are you guys doing?
He was coming to the Cape Cod with us. Okay. Now he's mad. Now he's got to practice too.
He's got to practice too.
But I'm telling you, Shay McClellan. When he talks, he's going to be very thankful for what happened in his last year here in Chicago. Vic Fangio, John Fox. They saved his career in
kinda,
a way.
Yeah.
Kinda, they did. I mean, yeah. if Mark Trestman and Mel Tucker are still here, can you see him getting that, would he get a 3-year, $12 million contract from New England? Doesn't happen.
Where is he on that depth chart right now?
I don't know. I haven't checked yet. We'll be doing that tomorrow on the plane. But someone was saying good things about him the other day, the old media pipeline, anonymous talk. But
let's see him in the regular season.
Rob Ninkovich is out.
Hey, that's true.
Torn tricep, right?
Yeah.
Opens the door for Shay.
Wow.
I don't like your level of enthusiasm for seeing Shay McClellan again.
It's not very high. Not really high for either of them, to be honest, for different reasons.
All right, what do you want to see in New England?
Folks,
he is so upset about this Cape Cod thing.
I know, it's just bringing me down.
Once we started talking about New England, he just wants to get up to hell. Let's get this day over with.
Yeah, let's just cancel the trip. No reason to even go anymore.
No. Jimmy Garoppolo, Rolling Meadows finalist.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see if Brady even plays in the game on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see a point.
No.
In him playing. Brady could start the season week 5 without having thrown a pass in the preseason and be fine.
Yeah. Yep.
So if Garoppolo is your week 1 starter, you should try to get him as many reps as possible with the ones going up against a one defense. So that's what I would do, but Bill Belichick's obviously smarter than me when it comes to football, so we'll see what his plan is.
I don't know. Don't cut yourself short. There's too much, Anna.
Well, he is the one that signed Shane McClellan in the offseason. Ooh,
that's why you got to believe in what's going to happen this year.
And traded
in Foxborough. Well, John Bosick didn't work out. He's hurt again, I think, Detroit?
He is in Detroit. Is Kasim Green still in the league?
Tampa Bay, maybe?
I think he was in Tampa, but I think he ended up in Detroit for a while.
Oh, with Bostic? I don't know. God, those were the Bears starting linebackers not too long ago.
Jesus. Ooh.
Anyway, I think it's going to be a good week. I think last year, just being able to see Luck. Do you remember all the praise the defensive players were heaping on having to work against Andrew Luck?
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to get the same because Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get the first team reps over Tom Brady because he's going to be suspended for the never-ending Deflategate. But this is still, like you said, the best coached football team in the league. They have depth upon depth upon depth. And you got your notables, at least from a Bears media perspective, with Martellus Bennett and Shane McClellan. I think it's going to be an interesting week.
Too many people, I think, easily say that the preseason doesn't matter, that it's not an indication of the regular season. I think to a large degree it's not. But there are indications, and there are times where I think it is sort of a good measuring stick. You go back to last year, and the Bears held their own against the Colts. Well, it turned out the Colts weren't very good at football last year.
They lost Andrew Luck, though.
They had plenty of problems.
Offensive line. Wasn't their offensive line miserable?
Yes. They had plenty of issues. Their head coach almost got fired. It did not end up being a good year for them. And then they go to Cincinnati for the third preseason game, and the Bengals were a pretty darn good football team.
Yep.
And you saw that night, and the year before when the Bears got slaughtered in Seattle, same deal. That was a pretty good football team, and the Bears were not a very good football team. So, you know, I'm not saying that the score at the end of the night matters, but I do think it matters how the Bears stack up against the Patriots, both in practice and in that game. And I think that we're going to see three practices in a game. That's four straight days of the Bears against the New England Patriots. It's a good measuring stick. And I think that you can, you know, certainly not make a conclusion on the whole year, but at least get a good idea how the Bears stack up.
I mean, that's why the first preseason game was so, to use my kids' words, yucky. I mean, it was this was a Denver Broncos defense that sat out their two best pass rushers, their two starting cornerbacks, and all the first team offense could muster was a 12-yard slant route completion from Jay Cutler to Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Then they got one more yard. I know they're the defending champs, but and I know there's not much game planning, but you still know you still want some success, and you're right. But yeah, so I don't know how revealing, but you'll get glimpses of what the Bears can be from this week.
And the bottom line is they got to improve on what just happened the other night.
Yes, I mean we thought the Colts could be good last year, but we know the Patriots are good, even if.
Yeah.
Brady's out. I mean, Garoppolo could turn out to be the next big trade chip for Bill Belichick, but we know they're a good team. There are some little doubts, at least at some point last year, thinking about the Colts.
I am excited to see Jimmy Garoppolo. See how he does.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, maybe the Bears in a year could throw some draft picks Bill Belichick's way, maybe get their quarterback of the future.
That that doesn't seem very smart.
Why?
Just to give up draft picks.
Because you got so much to do, but you need a quarterback.
Your own quarterback. I don't know.
Or get one tutored by Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And
how many years does
Josh
Brady
McDaniels
have left?
Three or four? Look, they drafted what's the
careers
they,
end quickly, though.
Yeah, but they just drafted what? Was it Dak Prescott? Is the guy they just drafted?
Oh, they did? He ended up in New England?
Yeah. So they're already preparing for Garoppolo's departure.
This is year three for him already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. All right. Well, we will certainly be back with at least one episode in New England before the game, for sure. Well,
sadly, not at Cape Cod, but...
Yeah. Man, that sucks. It really does.
He's coming to near tears here.
All right. This was an intentional grounding episode 42. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns for updates from practice, both this weekend in Chicago at House Hall, in Lake Forest, I should say. And then the Bears fly there Sunday night. We'll be there Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday for practice, game on Thursday. So we'll definitely bring you everything that Martellus Bennett has to say, and we'll tell you how Adam's dinner with Shane McClellan goes and how many candles are lit and how romantic it was.
Are we ending the show or what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I was doing. Again, read us WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com, and search the podcast. Find it at iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. Appreciate you listening. We will talk to you from New England.